let's turn in our Bibles tonight, okay? Mark chapter 14, verse 26. I want to talk about self-confidence tonight. Self-confidence. How many hear that word used a lot, that phrase, self-confidence? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about self-confidence tonight. Verse 26. And when they had sung a hymn, imagine that they actually sang together with Jesus. They went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now, he just said that all of you will be made to stumble. Has anybody beside myself stumbled at least once? Okay. We all stumble, but we don't have to be defeated. You can get discouraged at times, but you're not defeated, right? You may be pressed down or cast down, but you're not defeated. You're not out. Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not. Self-confidence. Now, this is what the world tells you. The world says, believe in yourself. Believe in your own confidence. Put your trust in your own ability. Now, we see people in the world that are achievers, people that do well. Anybody ever watch one of those shows where they're looking for talent? No. Where they have all these people performing and trying to get to some type of, top of the pile and to get the big contract and to win the $1 million or whatever it is. Yeah. America Has Talent being one of them. Yeah. American Idol. American Idol. Interesting enough, they even call it American Idol. Because we're looking for a God that we can touch and watch on television. So here Peter stands up after Jesus said, you're all going to stumble. And he's not going to, though. He's correcting Jesus. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And listen, because we pick on Peter, don't we? And they all, likewise, spoke the same thing, didn't they? What's going on here? This is pride, folks. This is human pride. This is proud boasting. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples here in the garden, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? What's going on here? Unwatchfulness. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, we don't have what it takes in ourselves to live victoriously. You may do it for a short period of time, but it's only short-lived if it's all about you and I. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer him. Nobody said anything. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, and a great multitude with swords and clubs came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And we know from another gospel that was Peter. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Now everything that Jesus did was in fulfillment of that which had previously been written about him. He proved who he was and that he had complete and total obedience to fulfill all that was written about him, including his death, burial, and resurrection. And then they all forsook him and fled. Oh, interesting. They all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter, the one who said, "I would never deny you," followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. What's going on here now? Peter's ashamed to be identified with Jesus. You see, there is a series of events that take place when a person falls away. And he now is warming himself at the enemy's fire. Worldliness. He's becoming like those around him. He's identifying himself with them. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Folks, I have found this to be true in my own life, that there are times when people will say falsely, will speak false about me. Maybe it's happened to you too, that people will speak falsely. But you know what? God is your vindicator. And eventually, they're going to be tripped up in what they're saying, and it's going to be exposed. We just give it over to God. Just commit it to God. And we don't take vengeance into our own hands. And we don't go on a campaign to hurt back. But you bless those who curse you. Then verse 57, some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Isn't that funny how people just, you know, that's filters in communication, you know. You say one thing and it gets twisted. Old Leviathan gets in there and twists it around, and all of a sudden it's not at all what you said. And just in general, as we communicate one to another, it's interesting how communication breaks down after the second and third person. You know, it's already not what it was originally. It's amazing. I have discovered things about myself that I didn't even know I had done. It's just because it got passed down for 3 or 4 people. And by the time it got down the pike a bit, it was really messed up. And I was a pretty bad dude, you know. Maybe you've been there too. How many know that we're not only called to rejoice in the goodness of God and to enjoy the blessings of His presence and of this, and able to taste or partake of the world that is to come as the Lord just lavishes His Spirit upon us and His grace, His goodness, His gifts upon us. But we're also called to suffer for Jesus. So if you're going to live for Jesus, expect, okay, there's going to be a Judas somewhere in your life. Everybody has a Judas who walks with Jesus. A betrayer, maybe several. But you don't look at that. You look to Jesus and say, well, if Jesus suffered, then I, who am I to expect that I wouldn't also suffer if I follow Him? Isn't that what Jesus said? If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. But Jesus said, when you're persecuted for my sake, amen, He said, even leap for joy. And I had a friend that actually did that once. He actually leaped for joy when he was being persecuted by someone. Hey, Jesus said, do it. I like those literal Christians, you know. But not even then did their testimony agree. In verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? He didn't say, are you a Christ? He said, are you the Christ? They knew that there was a Messiah. There was going to be a Christ, the Christ that would come, that would, I mean, be the deliverer of the people. And he said in verse 62, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, that was a sign of that he has blasphemed. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But what did Peter do? The bold Peter, the self-confident Peter, he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech gives you away. It shows it. Now what does Peter do? Then he began to curse and swear. I do not know this man of whom you speak. Now he's become reckless. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Another gospel says that he was crushed and that he went and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly when he realized what he had done and that he had denied the very Lord that he had vowed to never deny. Even if it meant his life, he said, I will never deny you, Jesus. You see, we have to be careful that our confidence is not misplaced. When we have confidence in ourselves and our own ability to live for God, to please God, we're being deceived. We're being deluded by our own selves. We're self-deceived. We do not have the ability to produce righteousness. We do not have the ability to live victoriously. We do not have the ability to overcome in and of ourselves. The only way that we can have true confidence and overcoming power is by an abiding union with Christ, by placing our faith, our trust in Him who has all power, all authority, who has been given the name that is above every name. We call upon the name of the Lord. In our time of weakness, we draw our strength from Christ Jesus. Amen? It is not of us to overcome the world. It is not in us, except that God has given us His Holy Spirit, and He has opened the door, the window of heaven, that we can come and drink deeply from the wells of Jesus, Yeshua, amen? That we can be refreshed, that we can receive the grace and the help, the mercy that we need, amen? In our time of weakness, in a time of struggle, when we're going through it, hallelujah, don't run to the psychiatrist, run to Jesus. Run into His arms, seek His face, call upon Him, seek Him, and you will find Him. Don't give up. Don't try this quick fix Christianity approach. Remember, Saul got impatient when he had sought the Lord for an answer to prayer, and God hadn't answered him in the time frame that he was expecting him to. Saul, King Saul, remember, he got anxious and he began to take matters into his own hands, and he went to the witch of Endor and he said, well, I'll find out one way or another what I must do. If God's not going to answer me, then I'm going to go to the witch, I'm going to go to the psychic, and I'm going to inquire as to what I should do. And as a result, he failed miserably before God. He disobeyed the Lord and he lost his kingdom, and eventually he lost his life. It is a dangerous thing to turn to God, to other gods, to turn to idols, to put your faith and your trust in anything or anyone else except God ultimately for your salvation and for your deliverance. Yes. When you put your faith in yourself, you're going to find yourself on your face. You're going to fall flat on your face. You may do well for a season, but even people who seem to be at the top of the pile in society are really not at the top of the pile. Internally, they're broken down. They're empty. Except for those who are in Christ Jesus. They have discovered the meaning of life. We were created for God, to walk with God. That is the meaning of life. For His pleasure we were created. And so our life is in Him. We like to give ourselves grace, but it's the grace that God gives that is able to keep us. The victory, amen, is in the Lord. Sometimes you hear people that are in a very good moment in their life and they talk about their victories. They boast about their accomplishments and their achievements and what God has done. Folks, if we're boasting in God, that's a good thing. But if we're boasting in our own, it's not a good thing. That's misdirected confidence. As soon as we start taking our eyes off Jesus and starting to trust in ourselves, folks, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. Peter did not realize that he had misdirected confidence. He thought that he was going to be able to stand up. He thought he was big enough of a guy. He was a rough, tough fisherman. He thought he had what it took to overcome. And we're going to take the bull by the horns and we're going to do this thing, Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, you too, just like the rest of them, you're going to fall on your face. But folks, listen, it's necessary that we fall on our face. We have to understand something, that we don't have what it takes within ourselves to overcome the world. So God's going to allow you and I to fall on our face. And sometimes you've got to fall on your face a lot. To say, it doesn't work that way. Mm-mm. Some people have lived their entire life just putting confidence in their ability, in their own wisdom, in their own intellect, making decisions based upon just their own understanding, and not inquiring of God, and making mistake after mistake. But if you acknowledge God in all your ways, it says that He will direct your path. So here, self-confident Peter found himself in this place where he was trusting in his own heart. In Proverbs 28 and verse 26, it says, "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool." And we've all done that. See, Peter compared himself with the others. He thought he was more trustworthy than the others. No, none of us have ever done that. Come on. Jesus said you're all going to fall away. But Peter was, not old Peter here. It's a good thing, folks, what happened to Peter. How many know that Jesus always loved Peter? He didn't quit loving him because Peter fell. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't even stop the fall. Jesus could have prevented it, but what did Jesus say? He said, "No, Peter, you're going to fall on your face. But when you do, and when you're converted, when you come to the end of yourself, and you realize that, I just got to lay it all down, and I just got to connect with Jesus now. I got to take off the yoke of oppression, and I need to put the yoke of Jesus on, and I need to walk with Him now. And when I'm walking with Jesus, He's going to be able to carry me, amen? And He's going to strengthen me in my walk so that I can be just like the one I love. Jesus, you and I are doing this together. But when you try to do it on your own, well, you know how it goes. So he thought, because he was comparing himself, he was more trustworthy than the others. And then he begins to boast, you know, "If I should die," he says, "I'm not going to deny you, Jesus." And then the next thing you know, what happens is, it's interesting, you can just see it happening here. The next thing that happens is then becomes, the spiritual slumber begins to set in. It started out with confidence, self-confidence, and then boasting about how spiritual we are. And then when you get into the self-confidence mode, you begin to slack off in your prayer life. Hello. Why is that? Because it's misdirected confidence. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who know that they don't have what it takes. That they know that in and of themselves, there's nothing that's going to keep them. And because it's the hungry that are going to be satisfied. It's the empty that are going to be filled. It's the ones who realize that God is my supplier. God is my source. God is my strength. God is my shield. He's my salvation. It's not of me. It's in Him that I live." So unwatchfulness is the next step. And you and I who are consciously weak, lean hard on Jesus. Of course, you see in verse 38 that Jesus was telling them, He said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." There's that battle that goes within us. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Your heart is crying out, "Feed me." Your spirit man saying, "Feed me." And your flesh man says, "No, I'm just going to go get a pizza instead." Your flesh man will always want to dominate your life. How many of there's two of us, right? There's an old nature and then there's the new. And they're in competition. And so then, with the self-confidence and the boasting, you begin to slack off. You begin to draw away little by little. And when we are prayerless, we are easily tempted. That's what Jesus said. "Pray lest you enter into temptation." The devil knows when you've allowed yourself to go. He's just waiting for you to just allow yourself to go to a certain point, and all of a sudden, temptation starts to rise up. And it has much more power than you thought it did. Am I speaking the truth today? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not give in to your sin nature. You will be able to overcome temptation. But if you do not pray, you're not going to have the power to overcome. Because your grace comes from Him and not from yourself. As Paul said, my sufficiency is of God and not of me. I can't do what I do except by the Spirit of God. And then the next step was, it says in verse 54, that Peter now followed Jesus at a distance. What's going on here? He's getting farther away now. Jesus was no longer popular with the multitude. So he's following with Jesus, but listen, folks, I want you to hear this, but not close enough to be identified with him. Come on, I see it all the time. People come to church and they're, hallelujah, praise the Lord, but when they're out there, kind of like a little bit, yeah, Jesus is there, but it's kind of like not really going to let people know that I'm identifying with him. That's a sign that you're weak spiritually. And you need to get armored up. You need to get prayed. You need to seek God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to draw near to Him. He said He'll draw near to you. And so now he's becoming ashamed of Jesus. Jesus actually said it this way, if you are ashamed of me and of my words in this sin-sick, adulterous generation, He says, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and the holy angels. And I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. So I need to stay close to Jesus. I need to be willing to count the cost, to be a follower of Him and say, you know what, I'm with Jesus. Call me a Jesus freak. I'll receive that gladly. I'm actually a Jesus fanatic. I want to be one of His best fans. Sold out. Because Jesus is the way. He's the way. And like that song by, I think it's DC Talk, it's, I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. He says, what are we so afraid of or ashamed of? What are we trying to hide? It's like, he says, like carrying some kind of disease to be a Christian. He says, I tell you, no way. No way is that the way we're going to live. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. Man, blind them. When you go out into the world, be a blinding light. Amen? Amen. It's a good thing. People are really looking for the light, folks. Most people are looking for light. They're just looking in the wrong places. And you and I are the light of the world. So let your light so shine. Jesus, help us. And again, we see the worldliness begins to set in then. After a person becomes ashamed and they begin to distance themselves from Jesus, then they start to become more and more like the people of the world because they're hanging out in their camp and they're doing the things that they do. Has anybody ever been there before? I want to know that that should never be for a child of God. The Bible says that let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from evil. Amen? We are not to indulge in the things that the world esteems as great, which is often an abomination to God. It's true, folks. Jesus said it. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. And you look at the things that the world is esteeming right now. Some of the movies that are out there are so filthy and so sick. And the sitcoms, it's not fit to watch anymore. and they're exalting shame, things that should cause people to be ashamed, they're exalting it and making it up to be something desirable. Or there's even an elitist arrogance that comes with some of this, to think that if I have this type of lifestyle that is even contrary to nature, a gay lifestyle, let's say it what it is, that somehow that's something to be desired and to make one wise in the eyes of the world. And folks, it's a shame. And those people need to know that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus has a better way for them, that that's not who they really are. They had believed a lie from Satan. Satan lied to them and said, "You're like that." And often they were lied to all through their lives growing up on the playground. "You're a sissy. You're this, you're that." And now they say, "Oh, it's because you are." Folks, we don't need to listen to that anymore. I'm not talking about gay bashing. I think that's a shame that people, even Christians, would bash anybody. But I'll tell you what, I hate the sin. But we're to love the sinner. We're to love those people. Because Jesus loves those people. And many of them are coming out of that lifestyle. They're being set free by the power of God. And there are ministries that are sprouting up. Not the ones that call themselves gay churches. They are in deception. That is completely contrary to Scripture. Amen. God actually calls that an abomination. That's something that He detests. That He loathes. That type of thing. Why? Because it's contrary to God's original purpose for a man and a woman. It's contrary to nature. And it's interesting that the world complains about, you know, endangered species. And that the animals are disappearing. And folks, you know what? Hey, if we can do something to save a monkey somewhere, great. But how quick would humanity disappear if we all had that mindset? And now the next thing that happens to Peter in verses 67 and 68, when the servant girl saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." Now he's flat out denying Jesus. "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and then the rooster crowed. From there, folks, there's denial, and then it's just plain reckless. He just becomes... I can tell you... Folks, don't ever think, you know, that you stand in and of yourself. Do not put confidence in your ability to stand. Take heed lest at any time you think you stand, that you don't fall. Because it's in the time that you think you stand that you are most vulnerable to the fall. Because of misdirected confidence. Our confidence, our boasting is in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Whatever we do in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. We boast in God. We praise God. That's boasting in God. We praise Him because He is our source. Not as this guy Dwyer says, the source. Was it Wayne Dwyer or Dwayne Dreyer or Dyer, one of those motivational speakers? He talks about the source as if it's some kind of impersonal power force or shield or something. I think he's watched too much Star Trek. Star Wars? Let the Force be with you, yeah. How many know that God is a person? He's not an it. He's a he. But if you want to turn God into an it, then it takes away any responsibility for me to be responsible before Him. Isn't it true? It takes away all accountability now because it's not a he, it's an it. Right. Therefore, on my own God, I do what I want. But if he's a he, if he's a creator, and he created you, and he's given laws to us, now we're accountable. And because we've all broken the law, Jesus took the initiative to come down and fulfill all righteousness, to uphold the law, amen, and become a sacrifice for us, that we might be saved, that we might receive a brand new heart, a brand new nature, that one that pleases God. And we trust not in ourselves, but in the power of God. Our faith is not in our ability. Our faith is not in our programs. If we as a church try to go by program, folks, it's only going to go for so long and it fizzles out. Our faith has to be in the plan of God, the will of God, and the power of God. If God says do it, he's going to back it up. So we find out what God is not saying, don't we?
Yes, we do.
He said, I know not this man. So now Peter, eventually, he hits bottom, folks. And now he's out there cussing with the world. He's not going to be identified with Jesus. Here's the one who had all this confidence, who was so cocky, that was willing to stand up and say, not me, Jesus. They may all fall away, but ain't going to happen to Peter here. And you know what? Peter gets picked on a lot, but you know, I think if we're honest about it, we can see ourselves somewhere in this. We've all been Peter. And so what we need to do is learn from this and be wise and understand, folks, that we need to examine our own hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us where we stand with Him. Amen? Don't even trust in your own judgment. Why? Because your own judgment will say, you're doing pretty good. You went to church this week. You sang in the choir. You tithed. You whatever. No. Ask the Holy Spirit, who searches the deep things of God and will also reveal the hidden secrets even of your heart. He will bring to light. Ask Christ to shine His light into your heart. Lord, give me revelation. Lord, show me where I really stand. Would you bow your heads tonight? And let's just do that. Would you be willing to ask God that question? Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now. Lord, overshadow us. Lord, turn the light on in each heart tonight. We want to be clean. God, we don't want any baggage. Lord, where do I stand? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless you, Lord. Turn the light on bright, Lord. Shine your searchlight into our hearts, Lord. Is there unforgiveness in your heart towards someone? Are you holding a grudge against anyone? Did God show you that tonight? That you need to forgive that person? Just do it. Like Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. If he tells you to do that, do it. You're doing yourself a great big favor. You can get that thing off your chest. You can get free. You've got bitterness, maybe unforgiveness in your heart. Sometimes people get bitter with God. They hold bitterness against the Lord himself. Just repent of that tonight. Say, God, I'm sorry. For blaming you. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. Forgive me of all my failures. Forgive me for my unfaithfulness. Forgive me for my prayerlessness. Forgive me for my recklessness. Forgive me for putting my confidence in myself, Lord. God, deliver me from myself. Set me free from me. Wash me in your precious blood, Lord Jesus. Ask him to cleanse you. Lord, cleanse me deep inside tonight. I want a clean heart. I want peace with you, Lord. I want to be in right standing with you tonight. Jesus, set me free. Lord, forgive me for judging others and pointing a finger at others when I need to be pointing at myself. You said in your word, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So Lord, we just come before you tonight and we're asking, Lord, that you would forgive us for being judgmental and judging our brothers and our sisters. We repent, Lord. We change our way. We change our mind. There are other things that God, right now, He's just by His Spirit. Just listen. Just settle yourself right now. And listen, He's trying to speak to you. And as He points them out, whatever He says, just do it. Even if it means you have to pay a price to do it. Even if it means it's going to be difficult, just do it. And then put your faith and your confidence in Him who is able to give you the grace to do it. Trust in Him. Call on His name. Ask Jesus, deliver me. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. If you're serious about this tonight and you really want to walk with God the rest of your days, you want to commit your life to Jesus, to be His disciple, then I want to lead us all in a prayer. And it's going to be a prayer of consecration tonight. And I just want us to pray together. Pray from your heart. If you mean it sincerely, God will answer this prayer tonight. And let's just say it out loud together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. Take my life. I give it to you. Give me your life that I might live in you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Grant me power with you and with men, that I might be an overcomer by your grace. Lord, I give you my mind. Sanctify it. Set it apart. I give you my eyes. Purify my thoughts, my mind, that my eyes may see the way you see things. I give you my ears. Take my ears that I may hear your voice and obey your commands. I give you my mouth that I may speak what you are speaking. Sanctify my mouth that I will speak only life and never death, that I will speak blessing and not cursing. Lord, I give you my hands that I might labor for you every day. I give you my feet that I may follow you every day, that I may walk where you walk. Ultimately, Lord, I give you my heart, for it is the mercy seat. It is the place where you dwell. So Jesus, live in me. Move in me. Lead me. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. From this day forward, I completely yield myself to you. Thank you for receiving me. You said, those who come to you, I will in no wise cast out. Thank you for receiving me. I am your child, and you are my Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now go ahead and praise Him in your own words. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, one more thing. I give you my nose that I'm able to discern between good and evil, that I can smell a rat. Help me, Lord, to keep my nose out of others' business, that I will not be a busybody, But I'll keep my eyes on you and the assignment that you gave me. To do your will, O God, is my heart's desire. Show me the way. Hallelujah. Amen.